was going over what the Lord had brought last week about a better way of life, a better way of functioning in life. And I'd like to take you back to that scripture. Before we go there, however, I'd like you to just kind of bow your heads. Lord Jesus, without you, we can do nothing. And you've made it very clear that unless you bring the anointing, we are not to change anything. We're just to walk in your footprints. Lord, give us the grace to walk in those footprints. In Jesus' name. So I'd like to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. But earnestly desire and zealously, I'm using the Amplified this week, cultivate the greatest and best, the higher gifts and the choicest graces. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way. One that is better by far and the highest of them all. Love. I can remember the first time that this particular word was emphasized to me. It was 1989 and I was in Texas. And there was a title of a book that jumped out from a book table. How many know sometimes God can speak to you with a book on a book table? And the heading on the book was The More Excellent Way. And it was jumping in my inner man. My spirit man was just going up and down. And I said, Lord. And obviously, I bought the book. And it was by Kelly Varner. And that man irritated me, like a few others have irritated me. How many have had a few people irritate you? How many have had a few books irritate you? Thank you. Well, why are they irritating? Because God is trying to impact us to go higher. Okay? One that is better by far. And the highest of them all, love. Verse, I'd like you to kind of skip into chapter 13. And look at verse 8. And it points out love never fails. Never fades out. Or becomes obsolete. Or comes to an end. As for prophecies, that is the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. Do you believe that the gifts of the Spirit have already been fulfilled? I think they're manifesting now. Have they been fulfilled in us? No. I think there's always room for more growth. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cause and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. That's a gift of knowledge. That's the gift of tongues. Are we complete yet? Are we in that more excellent way? Or are we on our way to the more excellent way? On our way. Okay. That is, it will lose its value and be superseded by truth. Who is truth? Jesus is the truth. He's the way. He's the life. He's the light. He's all those things. And when he becomes perfected in us, all those other gifts that were given for us to get there will be what? Less needed. In other words, as you grow in the knowledge of God about yourself and the purpose that you are here for, becomes more and more understandable. And that you begin to see the purposes of why God has even placed you in this body. You will begin to comprehend his plan for your life. Not only his plan, but the marvelous expectations that he has already set in your heart to unfold as you go forward. How many know God's not going to unfold anything to you until you get to a certain destiny? How many have noticed that the revelations of God are only going to come in increments as you can handle them? I can truthfully say to you that when the Holy Spirit began to press me, that there were gifts in me to do certain works in the body of Christ, my first reaction was what? I want them all. Huh? What was yours? Run the other way. There was a season in my life he began to show me things that I could do in God. And I was truly saying to him, there is no way that's not in me. There is no way that's not in me. Peter, when he's told, you're going to be a fisher of men, what does he say? How can this be? All right? Many, many times you will have inner knowledge in your spirit of the things that God can do in you and through you, and you have no clue that it's in there. But as it begins to unfold, as it begins to release inside of you, you begin to see that there's hope, not only for your future, but what he is about to do in you is going to be his work manifesting through you. And yes, there was a season that I came to say, I want them all. But my first reactions is, how can this be? I sounded just like Mary when the angel came. I mean, like, I don't know anybody. I haven't had any intercourse. How can I get pregnant and have the Most High and his son come to life inside of me when I don't know any man? I mean, this guy's promised to marry me, but yahoo, we haven't done anything. How can I get pregnant and bear his child? And the holy angel said, it's the Holy Spirit that will overshadow you. Now, several times I've shared with you that I truly believe that we are living in the same time zone as what Mary was living in. Except we, as the body of Christ, are pregnant with the reality of Christ Jesus becoming what? Flesh in you and me. And it's going to be done by love. And it's the Holy Spirit that will overshadow us until we fully manifest the fullness of Christ. Now, how are we going to do that? By what? By the more excellent way. Because verse 8 says, love never fails. Love never fails. Who is Christ Jesus? Is he not the expression of the love of the Father to the earth to bring the reality of the kingdom in the earth? But he starts by bringing the reality of the kingdom inside of this earth, inside of this flesh, inside of my own heart. What happens? Why am I fighting back? Why am I unable to believe what God can do for me? Because my flesh is trying to overrule my spirit. Amen? There are three parts, correct? Spirit, soul, and body. You're a spirit being having an experience inside of a flesh body, adding a soul, mind, will, and emotions. And usually, in my experience, my mind, my will, and my emotions have their way a lot quicker than my spirit does. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 verifies what I'm saying to you, that we are blessed of God to become empowered inside. to do it the more excellent way, to do it by love. And you cannot give out love until you have received it. Who saw the needle? You did. I saw a needle too, a spiritual one. And it was to give a transfusion. To rebuild a heart that's been crushed. God is a specialist at using the right needle at the right time for the right restoration so that you can become fulfilling to those around you. Sometimes you're going to come into the anointing of the Lord and you're going to taste of His love, taste of His goodness, taste of His peace, taste of His joy. Other times you're going to get all these things that are coming at you and all you're going to hear inside is, that's for them, but not for you. How many have ever heard that? That's for them and not for you. Why? Because the deceiver is right there sitting on your shoulder saying, I can't do this. There's no way that I can pour out love when I feel so much hatred inside, when I have so much self-rejection. And the Holy Spirit is saying to you today, there is a more excellent way, and the way is what? Love. And it never fails. I can remember many years ago, the Holy Spirit impacting me one Sunday morning with that word. And it came through a pastor that I cared about, and he pointed out that love never fails. Judgment will fail you. Criticalness will fail you. Fault finding will fail you. In fact, those are opposite to the love. Let's go back. Verse 1, chapter 13. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I can say I love you all day long, but have no heartfelt change inside of me. It's all what? Artificial. It's all flesh. And if I have a prophetic powers, that is, the gift of interpreting, divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truth and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, in parentheses, I am nothing, a useless nobody. So how important is it for me to function under that anointing all the time? If I don't want to be a nobody that is useless, I better get used to the idea of doing it by love. Verse 3. If I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, God's love in me, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Why did I repeat it 3 times? Because I want you to get it. It's got to be inside of you. It can't be something that's looking on the outside and you're trying to pull it in and then give it out, because it won't work. And the only way you're going to get to believe that you are loved of God is to convince yourself by His Word. You've got to use the Word to put it inside of you, because if you don't, it's going to always be on the outside. It's going to be somebody else's gift. And you are going to try to imitate it out of the flesh. Open ye gates, that the Son of Righteousness may come in. Who is the Son? He's the manifested love of God. Why did you go to the table this morning? And as I said to you last week, why did you come to church? Why did you bother coming? What is the purpose? What is the reason? Did you come here to sit and warm up a chair? I pray not. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to impact you, you will be changed. a little piece at a time. And he's going to pull out the old roots and give you what? New roots. Roots that are founded and based in love. The more excellent way. Now, verse 4. Love endures long. Well, he told me he loved me 6 months ago. Oh, he told me he loved me a year and a half ago. Oh, he told me he loved me 12 years ago. How many know that as the numbers get longer, it fades? I can remember a promise that the Holy Spirit impacted my life with. And the unbelief in me was so strong that it canceled it out. Put your hand up if you relate. Look around you and see the hands. It was so unbelievable for me to believe that it could possibly be me that God was talking to, that I rejected it. Well, guess what? He brought it back again. From a different person. And it was a little bit different, but it had the same foundation. It had the same truth in it. So I said, oh, that's nice. Thank you, Lord. So it was like I was trying to accept it, but it really wasn't wanting to go in. A few days later, someone else came with a message. Oh, by the way, Kim, this is what the Lord said for you. And I wrote it down. Woo-hoo. How many know that when it's written, it has a different impact? So in comes this little piece of paper, and I'm given this piece of paper, and it had a scripture on the bottom, and it had my name, and it had the date. Well, you unbelieving soul, what are you going to do with that one? Do you notice I said soul? Mind, will, and emotions, unbelieving. What are you going to do with it? So I got to my office and I began to look at that word, and the tears were rolling out of my eyes and the unbelief was being dealt with. And then I said a nice little prayer on my way home that night. And I can remember where I was. And the Lord, I said, you know, if this is really you, Lord, I cannot go forward on just three words. Even though your word says everything will be established in two or three witnesses, this is so big. This is so unbelievable. This is so beyond me. And I was talking about my soul, my mind, my will, and emotions. It was that far beyond me. It could not be acceptable to me. It was too big. So I went home. Several weeks ago, we had a funeral for Diana Drew, who went home to be with Jesus. And believe it or not, this beautiful woman of God was part of that church, and she came in on that Monday morning service. And she was a little bit late, and she comes up to me, and we were going to break bread together, and we had had some nice music, and Diana comes over and she says, Kim, I have a word for you. And she takes my hand, just like I'm using this one. And she says, this is the word. The Lord said to tell you that he loves you enough to tell you four or five times. Get a clue. That's what I did. I swallowed hard, looked at her, gave her a little hug. I really wanted to kind of slap her. Because you see, it didn't fit my theology for Kim. Close your eyes for a moment. Say, Lord Jesus, my theology for me needs to be adjusted by your Holy Ghost. Because my soul has been pushing buttons. And whatever unbelief needs to come out of me to keep me off the track that you've prepared for me and the anointed place to walk in the image and likeness of my Savior, Jesus Christ, I want that unbelief out of there. I don't want it to rob me anymore. And if you need to speak to me 4 or 5 times, you will. So that unbelief will be dealt with by truth and by the power of the more excellent way. That is the love. Is love flowing inside of me, embracing me, and changing me from what I was to what I need to be. Amen? And amen. Verse 4, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights. Ouch. God's love in me does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy, or fretful or resentful. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. It takes no account of the evil done to it.
Yeah, right. I mean, I can tell you how many times they hurt me. I can tell you how many times they pushed me over the edge. I can tell you how many times I got wounded.
Of course, that's never happened to you guys.
How many have a nice list? Yeah, it's a Holy Ghost list, I thought.
No, it's not a Holy Ghost list. It's a what? A fault-finding list. What else is it? It's also a list of justification.
I'm right and they're wrong, and after all, they better get used to it. After all, they know that I am the man of God.
Right?
I'm the woman of God. Yeah, well, that's not what it says here.
Love does not insist on its own rights or its own ways, for it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. I mean, that did not fit my soul.
So when we're looking at Jesus Christ, we're looking at a person who does not count how many times I've offended him. Who does not count how many times I rejected him. But he's constantly releasing love and harmony into my heart so that I can become exactly what he's called me to be. And in spite of my soul, in spite of my emotions, in spite of what I think I'm right, he's bound and determined to get me to the finish line in the image of himself.
Verse 6, it does not rejoice at injustice. Love does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Not in my Holy Ghost book.
I had a record of how many times they deceived me. I didn't want to go back for thirds and fifths and sevenths and twelves and fifteens and sometimes 50 of the same. Everybody got any hands? I remember crying out to God, how many times do I forgive? And I sounded just like Peter. How many times do I say, okay, you can hit me again? Rather than spitting at them, I had to spit on the ground and forgive and forgive and forgive. Love bears up. Verse 7. Under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person in hopes that all fadeless, in its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. I didn't pass the test. So how could possibly God use me? I didn't have these qualities in me. So I was looking at my record in the flesh. How many have seen their record in the flesh and did not pass the test? Put your hand way up. Why did Jesus pass the test for us? He knew we couldn't do it. When I admit I can't do it, then he comes to my rescue. If I think I can do it on my own, guess what? He'll let you run it until you get tired. Pooped, worn out, and all those other things until you humble yourself and you say, you know what, God? I can't love with your love. Because I don't have enough in me. But I'll willingly submit and let you fill me. I believe that's the vision of the living water that was shown last week, where people are laying down on their backs and they're just letting that living water flood them. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to fill you and me so much that we will have Holy Ghost leaks coming out of us. Yes. You will become a fountain to your neighborhood. You will become a word of knowledge to those that have a need. You'll be able to flow love into them because you'll have an abundance. How are you going to get it? From each other. I watched my sister this morning because I had seen a vision of her this morning on the way in. You. And I saw you giving out to people. And to my wonderful surprise, you obeyed and you gave out without being told by me. I would have loved to just say, Peggy, this is what you're supposed to do today. But I didn't have to say a word. Why? Because the Holy Ghost tattled on her. I would say about 9:05. And I would say about 10:45, she obeyed. Am I proud of what I've just given you? No. I'm humbled by it. How are we going to give out love? We're going to do it by an act of will. To love those that are unlovely. To release grace to those that are not kind to us. To intercede for those who are having a hard time with us and maybe abused us and accused us. You know why? Because God called you into this house for a purpose. To make you like his firstborn son. If you have a hunger to be like Jesus Christ, then that's the reason you're here. To be able to release yourself in the image and likeness of the one that
gave up his life that others might live. The more excellent way is the way of unconditional love, where all your rights are given over to the Lord. And Jesus said to his Father, is there any other way? The Father says, this is the cup. I'll give you the grace to get through. And I believe he gave him a vision of his resurrection. I need to have you close your eyes right now. Because in order to never taste of the failure that the enemy and your soul have coordinated, you need his grace to make it to the victory. So, Father, I ask that you would release to these that are listening to this message a gift of grace for those who have offended them, damaged them, rejected them, abused them, and accused them. And that your Holy Spirit will reconstruct their mind, will, and emotions in the image and likeness of Christ Jesus. That they will become instruments of love in a place that you have desired for them to be, whether it be on the job or in their leisure or out to dinner. Wherever they happen to be, Lord, let them be instruments of grace and mercy. That way there, my Father will refill them on a daily basis for God's glory. And all of God's people said, I also want to thank you for all the gifts from last week and the cards from the body of Christ. And you were so kind to me and irritated me. But I love you for it. And thank you for it. I also believe that there's a marvelous testimony about Daniel that we need to hear from his mom. So if you could just kind of fold your Bible over close there, young lady, and come up and tell the body what God has done for this wonderful Daniel. I didn't give you an opportunity before, but you need an opportunity now. Come on up, girl. Yeah, you can do this.
God is more awesome than we can ever imagine. Jim called me on Wednesday night, and he said that he was 8 out of 15 that were pre-selected to I guess it's be in the honor guard at Washington, D.C. And I didn't really understand the whole impact of it, of what he was telling me. So I called my sister-in-law the next night because it was pretty late when Dan called me. So when I said that, he said that he was going to be a part of 8th and I, which is in Washington, D.C. Those are the two streets that meet where the Marine Barracks is, and that's where the commandant is held, and she said that it's such an honor just to first be pre-selected, to have the interview is another honor, and she said that even if he didn't go there for one reason or another, just the fact that he was interviewed for this position. And when I told her that, the lieutenant commander said that if it wasn't in his orders after he finishes infantry school, he said that it has to be in his orders, so he has to make it happen. And so She said that only like 10% of all the Marine Corps ever selected for this. And she said that obviously someone is liking what they're seeing. And this is Ben Dan's heart. He's talking. To be a Marine. Since he was in second grade. And when he went to boot camp, he said, so he's just, don't let anything happen. But of course, God already knew that. You know, he knew that nothing was going to happen to stop him from graduating. You know, he saw his cousins, two of his cousins graduated before he did. And another cousin was going in a month after he was. And you know, fear would come in there. Oh, what if something happened? And I would really have to trust, you know, I really trusted God that nothing would happen. And so, you know, I thought the big deal was that he met the general at the graduation and shook his hand and had his picture taken. So, you know, and so I said, well, what about going to where the general is? And he goes, no, Mom, this is where the commandant is. The commandant is the president of the Marine Corps. So I'm just blown away that in just a few months, he's being so blessed. And I know it's for God's glory because I know Sam's going to use that for God's glory. And, you know, we pray for our kids, and you know, sometimes, you know, they irritate us.
No. Not my kids.
And one of the biggest things I guess I'm learning is, you know, when you give it to God and He takes it, and then He gives you back more than you can ever imagine. And you know, just like Tim said, just do it in love. You know? And then you can trust because He gives you the strength to do that. So, you know, he's going to finish infantry school, and then he's going to graduate on December 4th, and then from there he'll be going to Washington, D.C. And like my sister-in-law said, you know, for one reason or another, yeah, I mean, I believe that it will happen, but she said just the whole thing that has occurred already is an honor, and I just want to thank and praise God for that, that, you know, he gives us more than what we can ask or think.
Amen. Yeah. It's your turn. It was supposed to be Tuesday, but God had said no, and this young lady went on her 50th wedding anniversary gift. Mm. Yeah.
Word.
Oh, my word.
Oh, like I think that's what Mary was talking. There's homeschooling my grandchildren. I left an assignment with them while I was gone. And one did not do her assignment and told me it was too hard. But your test is harder than if I went to college. She's 14. So I went over it again with her. Promised to have it ready Thursday. Called her up Thursday and nope, it's not ready. Went to her mother and told her mother, I'd rather take an F. I'm going to fail. I'm not going to do this assignment. It's too hard. And her mother finally said, go upstairs, Abigail, and ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Go to bed and wake up in the morning with the rest. So I had an occasion to stop over at the house about 11 o'clock. She's upstairs on the computer. How's it going, Ab? That's first page, son. Did God give you wisdom? I guess so. So I went over that night, late, and I picked up the paper, and I read it yesterday morning. Did God give her wisdom? Whoa!
Well, that was what was coming to me while you were talking. Because I was getting very irritated with this. Well, I'm not, mouthing off like crazy. And I finally said, "Here, God, man, I don't know what to do with this kid." Oh, boy. But the other thing that I was thinking of while you were talking is that we were rushing around. We were packing and getting ready to go in the morning. My husband's always ill. He's already ready. And I'm doing my hair. I'm doing this kind of stuff. And I was like, run out. I handed him my toiletry case. And I said, "Here, put it in my suitcase. I got one more thing to do." Ran back in the bedroom. I mean, this is 4 o'clock in the morning. Run back in the bedroom, get something. We hop in the car, get to the airport. Both through, we had to go to Pittsburgh, and I had an occasion to open my carry-on bag, and there's sitting my toiletry case, and I went, "I thought, put this in my suitcase." I knew this was going to be foul. Get through Pittsburgh, and then, glory be to God, we get to LAX. So I walk through the line, get up to this lady, and opens up my carry-on. She whips out my stuff. "I can't take this on board." And maybe it's the anger from just what he did. I brought those two tubes special to take on this trip. One was for sunburns. I get sunburns special. Spent $10 on that thing. And look at this. Just drinking to my husband, just standing there pretending like nothing's happening. Oh my. And I'm trying to argue with this lady. There's no argument. Either you get these in another bag to go in underneath the plane, or it's not going. Finally, I said, "Throw them away." I put my bag on. I walked around that airport for half an hour. I was ripping, and I knew enough to keep my mouth shut. But God, I am not saying a word. This is anger. I'm not mouthing off. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just going to keep my distance. So I walked around half an hour. Finally, went over and I sat down and I said, "Okay." And I just waited. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke, and he told me, blow by blow, what I should have done. Oh, why didn't you tell me this? When I'm standing there talking and pleading. Because you couldn't hear it. "Thank you very much." And he said, "From the rest of this trip, I want you to only talk to me and ask me what to do, and don't listen to anything else." Well, I heard that. Needless to say, I didn't fully obey it. But I did my best with it. And the other two things that were really outstanding on the trip, God really, really blessed us. I had a few more altercations with my husband, and I just kept walking them out and walking them out. But there was a fellowship gathering on the ship. There was a couple from Maui, and they have a ministry on Maui, and they asked the ship if they could organize a Christian fellowship gathering in the morning, 5 days we were at sea. And the ship said yes. So there we were, 5 days at sea, and it was wonderful. Christian fellowship. It was just like, this is more than I expected. 4 pastors on board the ship. And I'm just enjoying this, and there, everybody's up witnessing and talking, and I kept saying, God, there's something I'm supposed to say. And it's not for the last day. And I got up and I witnessed towards what an eyewitness I felt was that I was supposed to witness what it feels like being really angry at God. And I just let that go, let it fly, and then related God's faithfulness. And I sort of weaved that all in. And I just thought, okay, I'm gonna quit this. Gave back the microphone. And the lady who was the wife of the man who had the ministry came over and gave me a big hug. Right? The minute it's over, one lady walks up to me and she looks at me and she says, "I feel just like you did." Now, this lady had an awesome ministry. She's already ministering to handicapped and mentally challenged people. And God did something that took her away from that. She's driven that. So anyway, I had the opportunity to witness to her. The first words out of my mouth is forgive herself, which she struggled with. But we had quite a long talk after that. And it was just such an awesome, awesome place to be able to give to somebody something God had given to you. And she received it. Thank God. And I was like, "Oh, good. Thank you, God. That's awesome." All the people leave, and I'm chatting away. And the other miracle part of this is my husband took off. Okay, that's good. I'm chatting away. I'm having a great time talking to everybody. And all of a sudden, everybody's gone except one lady. she walks up to me and she begins to relate her anger. And she was on the ship to recuperate from a very nasty, angry divorce. And she said, all I want to do is hide with my Bible, find some place in a corner, and just sit there. The wounds are oozing out of her body, and guilt is oozing out of her body. So again, I just began to relate to her, to forgive herself. She felt she caused the divorce. She felt, everything done wrong. No, forgive yourself. And we just talked for quite a long while. And I just believe that God did something, because it's going to be a while for those wounds to heal. But it was a door that was open, and God opened that door. She walked square into my face the next day, and I believe she was just looking for a hug. So that's when I gave her a hug. I said, you're going to be okay, because she's seeking God. She's seeking God. And those two things were just so special that, I go off on the trip not even thinking of anything like that. But God does open the door for those opportunities. 2,000 people on the ship and 1,000 staff. So we got 3,000 people on the ship. So here's two people that out of the whole ship, they're sitting there on that day that you're talking about this, and lo and behold, God does an amazing thing. So I praise Him and I thank Him for it. And I praise and I thank Him for our granddaughter that pushed through life. She was prideful. She was very, very proud. I just praise and thank Him, because in her report, she wrote a 3-page report, as it turned out. It was humble pie. Humble pie, freely admitting to God, I can't do this. I can't do this, and I know I can't, but I know who can. So she's... Thank you, Lord. Praise you.
How many witnessed unmerited favor in both of these testimonies? More than I can ask or think. More than I can ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. I would ask that you would seek the Holy Spirit in the next few days. Don't be afraid to ask Him for the gift of love, the parts that He can impart to you out of His own heart. And as you give hugs today to each other, like we do every Sunday, I would ask that you would just pray in the Spirit if that gift is in you. And if you have a word for that person that you're hugging, don't let it be just a brush-off hug. But let it be a love hug from one part of the body of Christ to the other. Now, Father, I ask that you would incorporate this gift of love into their hearts. Bring them forth with mighty, mighty blessings. As you have blessed us financially, we ask that you would give every single person here the nudge to give to the body, and for us to obey, that the Holy Spirit would be the awesome, divine director of everything we do for God's glory and for Jesus Christ to manifest through you as His love pours out to each of you.